Hello and welcome back to Series 2 of the Beautiful Feeling podcast. Here we explore the teachings of Sydney Banks and the understanding known as the Three Principles. I am your host, Rachel Singleton, and in this series, along with my guests, I will be focusing on the area of innate well-being and our experience of health. At the core of our being, we each have within us that which is innately well, joyful, peaceful, and at ease. How do we live in harmony with this? How do we allow this to speak through us and guide us in our daily lives? As always, I recommend that you find a quiet place to listen, allowing the gentle energy of these conversations to bring you into your own well of being. Hello and welcome back to this new series of the podcast. It's been a while and this one has been in the making for some time but just wasn't quite falling into place. And then last week I woke up one morning and suddenly got how to make it fall into place. I got what the missing elements were. So we're back and there's a nice stream of conversations ahead already lined up. But in this episode, which is a very short one, I actually want to do something that I failed to do in my first series, and that was to introduce myself properly. So I'd like to do that, and I'd also like to reflect a little on the journey that I went on and what I learned from doing the first series, from having those 12 really deep conversations about that core aspect of Sydney Banks's work. And where I'm hoping to go with this series now. So to just briefly introduce myself, I'm Rachel Singleton. I'm a transformative well-being coach, and I'm also, more recently, I've come out as an artist. That was something I was doing very privately and quietly, and then at some point last year I kind of decided to get more public about that. So I'm also a wildlife artist. And I've been working with people as a therapist. I started out as a homeopath, then worked with flower essences for over 20 years. Flower essences, for those of you who don't know them, are a kind of natural remedy that's made from vibrational frequencies from the flowers around us. And the person who kind of made them famous was Dr. Edward Bach. And some of you may even know and even take Rescue Remedy, which is a combination of flower essences. I got very interested in his work when I was training as a homeopath over 20 years ago and ended up making a range of my own wildflower essences here in the Lake District in the north of England, and also travelling to Scotland and abroad to work with rare and unusual flowers. So I kind of feel like for 20 years I sat at the feet of wildflowers and of nature in general and listened and learned about health, about spirit, about meaning, about what we might be here for. And at the same time, I was going on an internal journey of, I guess the experience of ill health. And I'm not going to talk a lot about that here because I've spoken about that elsewhere and on other podcast interviews. If you want to find out more, then you're welcome to go onto my website and you'll be able to read or listen to things about that there. But that whole experience of being unwell for 20 years and of being in pain and physically struggling on a daily basis was a profound lesson to have. So on the one hand, I'm working with clients and really enjoying my work and helping other people and having the amazing experience of this almost shamanic-like journey of learning directly from plants, what shamans would call plant spirit medicine. But on the other hand, within my own being, I'm really unwell and really struggling. And it always felt like there was something that didn't quite match up for me. And it wasn't until I got to a point where I was very, very ill that I realised I was looking in the wrong direction. I'd done so much searching and seeking. And I think that that might be a theme that comes up a lot in the conversations ahead in this series. But I'd done a lot of kind of trying to find answers outside myself about how to get well and how to get happy. Because being unwell and being in pain felt, it felt pretty miserable at times. So I did that classic thing of getting to my lowest ebb. Why do we wait until we're at rock bottom to really see the big things in our life? Because actually what I saw at that point had been staring me in the face for years and years. And what I saw was that there is something else to access in myself that is loving, that is well, that is whole, that is wise. And that if I turned back in the direction of that, that my life naturally started to heal itself in all aspects, including in my physicality. And what that felt like was to listen to that which was kinder or softer inside myself. For a long time, I'd really prided myself on being my own harshest critic. I wonder if anyone else out there resonates with that. You know, that sense of just, you've got this voice inside you that pulls you up and stops you getting ahead of yourself and keeps you in check. And I was very good at that. I kept myself on a really tight leash, so as not to upset other people and just trying to get things right all the time. And actually, well, what was this self that I was keeping on a tight leash? It was the deeper self that wasn't getting a chance to breathe and speak and be. And it was that I needed to listen to. I needed to go to a different place in myself and start to listen to something contrary to the critical voices that I'd always given precedence to in my own mind. I needed to start listening to love, in short. And what I discovered was that in listening to love, I felt softer and happier and more spacious and more collected, more together inside myself, and yet more expansive, more free than I'd felt in years. And I made a quiet commitment to myself to let that voice guide me forward. And it has, and it does. And when I then really started to look properly at the Three Principles teachings, I'd come across it before then, but it hadn't quite grabbed me, or maybe hadn't quite made sense, or maybe it just seemed all too simple and obvious, and I didn't get it at that point. Now, gosh, I can't believe I saw it like that. Now it seems like there's more and more and more to see in it every time I look. And even when I'm not looking, I'm feeling into it more and more deeply. So what really struck me about that when I started to look into it properly was this key thing that Sydney Banks kept pointing back to, this beautiful feeling. You know, he kept saying, don't listen to my words, it's not that. Listen to something inside yourself and it comes with a beautiful feeling. Like, this is how we know when we're listening to that which is relevant and true inside ourselves and indeed inside another, is when it comes with a beautiful feeling. So my impetus to the last series, the first series of the Beautiful Feeling podcast, was to explore that, because I knew how massively potent it was. And it was my hope that that would be something that, through sitting in a lovely feeling with wise and beautiful human beings and us just conversing around this, would be conveyed somehow, would be transmuted. And what I've heard from so many of you, and thank you so much for the feedback that you give me, what I've heard is that something of that did really touch you, and that you would like more. And I, like you, would like more, because being in those conversations is lovely. So I wanted to move into showing how very practical this understanding is. And one of the areas that so many people are struggling with at this time, and especially in the last 2 or 3 years since the coronavirus outbreak, is that health is a real area of concern, or struggle, or confusion. And for me, the three principles have really helped me to navigate, understand, settle into, and feel very comfortable with my well-being. So I want to explore what well-being is and see if we can't elucidate some of this. Because it can also seem as if, at first glance, the three principles is about thought and about the spirit and about our consciousness or consciousness as a whole. And maybe doesn't have a lot to do with the body, and the body is something we take to an expert in a white coat and get them to deal with. But that wouldn't be very joined up, would it? I don't think it would be the case that the spiritual would not include everything in the world. That's so clear in the teachings of Sydney Banks, it's so clear in the teachings of so many spiritual teachers, that everything is divine, everything is spirit imbued, and that includes our body and therefore our health. And I think the phrase for me that really helps to anchor me is to understand well-being as the well of being. That points me back to the beautiful feeling. It points me back to this sense that when I'm seated in myself with gentleness and love, and I'm listening to myself and my world from there, that well-being flows from, to, and through me. That well-being flows from, to, and through me when I'm gently, lovingly seated within myself, connected to a more beautiful feeling, resting in being. And I say a more beautiful feeling deliberately, because one of the things that people have sometimes asked me in relation to the last series is, you know, I don't really have beautiful feelings. I'm not really experiencing the world as being lovely. So I don't really get this. And when I point out that it's just a slightly kinder, slightly lighter feeling, or thought, or way of seeing, however you want to put it, for me it's just, even just 2, 3, 4, 5% softening inside myself if I'm struggling with something, just remembering. Oh, if I lift even just a little, if I just come back from my thinking even just a little and see it as full of anxiety or angst or pain, if I just notice that and know that that's actually not the sum total of who I am, that that's not all I've got, that there's something much calmer and wiser that can see this very differently, then I know the only thing I need to do is to just have that awareness, and I'm already shifting back into a lighter space, into a lighter way of being with this. And as I do that internally, and it's not so much a doing as a remembering, as I remember that and recollect that possibility that there is more to this than meets my eyes at this point, then it starts to change for me. My experience in the outer world, the circumstances I'm in, actually start to loosen and lighten every single time. So I don't have to try and find some blissed out, enlightened space for that to happen. I don't have to go around in a state of high consciousness. Oh my goodness, it'd be lovely to do that, I'm sure, but I'm nowhere near that. No, it's about just letting a fraction more light in, just letting myself soften and breathe and take a moment to have some space here. And in that lightening and in that space, I touch a more beautiful feeling than the one I might have been in a moment ago, and I see it with clearer eyes. And it's enough. I've always loved the saying that when we take a step towards grace, it takes 1,000 steps to meet us. It strikes me as extraordinary how just the slightest movement back to a softer, more grace-filled feeling or thought immediately transforms my seeing of something and my experience of it and the impact and the effect and the even the direction of it in the outside world. Now, if even just 2 or 3% movement back in that direction does that, wow, what, you know, really, what happens when we actually start to open up more and more to feelings of joy, lightness, presence, kindness, love. One client said to me recently, it really isn't dependent on circumstance, is it? This really is here for me to access in any moment. And just the clarity with which she said it and the light in her as she said it, I just thought, yeah, you've got it. It is not contingent on circumstance. And I've experienced that so often, and the place that I've experienced it a lot has been in the depth of physical pain. That actually when I've been hurting the most, it's almost proved to be a catalyst. It's like I've had to look for somewhere else to go within my being in order to be able to meet it, be with it, endure it, whatever you want to call it. And when I remember that my body can't just be experiencing something without my consciousness being involved, then slipping into a more expanded place in my consciousness and allowing myself to loosen the knots there has allowed my experience of pain in that moment to completely change. But I think my deepest wonder, ongoing sense of wonder around this whole teaching is how the more I look, the more I see areas of constriction that I didn't even know were there in my thinking, in my being, in my experience, in my life, let's say, or in my body, let's say, then I'm experiencing them unraveling. Because the more I allow myself to soften and trust and be curious and open and available to life, the more there is to be available to, the more grace comes in to meet us. It's a virtuous cycle, you know. It's like the more we go there and allow it and make space for that within our being, within life, within spirit, within everything, the more we make space for that, the more space it gladly takes up. And that brings great beauty and loveliness with it. And then accessing a beautiful feeling just becomes a whole lot easier. So that movement, that, is it a movement? Is it, there's something directional about leaning into or listening for, feeling for love, softness, kindness. For me to switch from listening to harshness to listening to kindness felt like I had no option but to do that. But it also felt very, very kind of, I don't know, strange, almost wrong at first, because I felt like I was letting myself off the hook. I felt like I was being too kind with myself, being too tolerant with myself, that I should be berating myself and reining myself in. And but that wasn't working, you know. Here I was, ill and unhappy and struggling and striving and seeing that this wasn't the experience that other people around me were having of life. I just knew that I'd got my programming a bit skewed, you know, and that wasn't it. But to really listen to something kinder felt too permissive, too generous, and I had these struggles where the old program in me was continuing to try to rule the roost, and something light and delicious and lovely and life enhancing was breaking through and saying, you don't have to listen to that. It took time to make that transition, and I think it takes courage. You know, when I see this in clients, this point of breakthrough where they're really starting to dare to listen to and trust their own loving, beautiful essence, It's a path of courage, without a doubt. So this is what we're about. This is what these conversations are about. And who knows where they will go. But the aim here is to just playfully join up the dots between the three principles, understanding, and our bodies, you know, to make sure our bodies, our health, our physicality is included fully in this conversation, that we're not just seeing things through spiritual eyes, but then disregarding the fact that we're getting loud and blatant messages from our body and our emotions. We don't want to be dismissing them. There is phenomenal intelligence in there for us, beautiful, spiritual, insightful, deep, pertinent feedback we want to be hearing ourselves at all levels, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. So I'm really looking forward to these. I hope you are too. Thank you for continuing to be on this journey with me, and for those who are new to the podcast, thank you for joining me. I would also love to say that if you have any questions at any time, maybe about health, that you would like me to address, or like me to weave into the conversations that I'm having with the people that I talk to on the show, then please do let me know. Please reach out. And if you hear anything that really touches you or helps you, I'd also really be interested. I'd love to know that. So for now, thank you for listening. Take care, and enjoy the series. Thank you for listening to today's episode. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. To find out more about today's speaker, please look in the show notes. And if you want to know more about the work I'm doing or connect with me further, then you'll find me at rachelsingleton.com, and that's spelled R-A-C-H-E-L. If you would like to leave a review or feedback for the show on your preferred podcast platform, that would be wonderful and will help me to spread the word. For now then, thank you again, and I wish you a lovely day.